And I think people are excited to have a style that's, you know, different than what they're used to in the area. Obviously, I love tavern style. I love Chicago style pizza. I have a big place in my heart for that style, but I think people are definitely interested in having access to, you know, different styles.
How did a nice boy from the Chicago suburbs, who grew up on tavern style, get into making New York style pizzas for a living? It took a lot of planning, eating, and learning, and the humility to understand when the slices were right and when they were wrong. The story behind Zaza's Pizzeria, straight ahead.
Straight fried pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, Pizza Geeks. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. We are back in my hometown this week in Chicago. We've been around the country the last couple of months, and I keep thinking, you know, I can't neglect my own backyard. And fortunately, there's a great story here with a pizzeria that kind of came through for us last minute at Pizza City Fest this summer. We had somebody drop out kind of last minute, and Zaza's stepped up to the plate, and I think they hit a leadoff home run. They did a great job. When you talk about Chicago's pizza scene, of course, out-of-towners immediately go to the stuffed and the deep material, usually picking off the most obvious, well-capitalized chain and making a mockery of it. And that is fine as long as you're okay with Sbarro representing the New York slice. But here's where things get interesting. Where do you find great Chicago tavern and deep dish in New York, or for that matter, the rest of the country? In Manhattan, there's Emmett's, which represents the Windy City with both the deep and the tavern and the hot dogs. But that's about it. City of 8 million people, one place for Chicago style. Now let's flip the script. In Chicago, plenty of places for a good New York slice, like Jimmy's, Paul and Monica's, Dante's, Bob's, Boiler Room, Polly G's Slice Shop, Kraft, and now Zaza's. They opened up in 2021, so I didn't even have a chance to get them into my latest book, but these are solid slices. If perhaps not 100% traditional due to the way they finish them post-bake. You're going to hear about that today. But Brett Nemec is the driving force behind Zaza's, and we begin our show, as we always do, by asking our guest about their first pizza memory.
One of my first pizza memories would definitely be going to Al's Pizza in Warrenville. Great tavern spot on the suburbs. I grew up in Warrenville, actually, and I remember walking in there, and there's something so unique about the smell and the aroma you get from like these old school tavern spots. You know, when you walk into a place like Vito and Nick's or these spots that have these old gas ovens, there's something about the sauce that just permeates the air. And I just remember walking in there and just seeing these old school tables, and they have a bar down there with regulars that have been going there for like 20, 30 years, and just getting their pie. And I think it's one of the best tavern pizzas out in the Chicagoland area.
When you say Warrenville, we're about 40 miles or so west of Chicago, straight west. And now that you've said this, it reminds me I need to go to Al's in Warrenville, because when I first started this whole pizza thing 4 or 5 years ago, a lot of people said you got to go to Al's in Warrenville. That's kind of like the textbook tavern style.
Yeah, for sure. I believe they actually bake their pizzas in pans, from what I understand. I think they're old steel pans that they've been using forever. And the flavor that you get from their crust, their sauce, it's really, really good stuff. I think in terms of tavern style, it's very high on my list, for sure.
Okay, so a Midwestern upbringing in the truest sense for pizza. You didn't really have a lot of exposure to the kind of pizza you're making now. But before we get to that, tell me about your path a little bit. How did you get into food?
So my first job was actually as a dishwasher at a steakhouse out in Warrenville, a little place called Eddie Merlot's. And Eddie Merlot's, yes. Great steakhouse. They got a few locations, and I learned a ton there. Actually just started off as a dishwasher, and eventually at a certain point they needed someone on the line to help cook. It was a garde manger station, cold station. So they needed someone to work over there, and I was interested in just watching the cooks. I was like, you know, this looks like a something I would be interested in. So I decided to give it a shot, worked the cold station, you know, just doing like charcuterie boards and, you know, cold plates and oysters and doing desserts and salads and really simple stuff. But it was a good introduction into cuisine. And I just sort of really fell in love and decided to go to culinary school. And
where?
So I went to College of DuPage. Just for a couple of years, mostly just for resume purposes. I think majority of what I understand about cooking happened and I learned through just working in restaurants.
Of course, it always goes that way. And a lot of chefs will say they don't take culinary students because they want somebody who's just sort of been out and learned it on their own, but you at least had a basis of sort of an understanding.
Yes, and I think I learned some good fundamentals about French cookery and whatnot, but I think really to be a good cook, you need to work in a busy restaurant.
All your pizza growing up and even into your teen years and then through culinary school, mostly informed by, I mean, I'm guessing mostly tavern style.
Absolutely. Yeah, tavern style was always what we had at the table. My mom and dad weren't great cooks, so we loved to order pizza, get takeout a lot, and tavern style pizza was always what we had at the table.
How do you end up getting here into Chicago?
So while I was working at Santo Cielo, that's where I kind of got introduced to pizza. So they had pizzas on the menu, but the dough definitely needed some love. And
you got introduced to pizza professionally at a Mexican place.
I mean, well, what we were doing at Santo Cielo, I mean, they have Mexican restaurants, but what we were doing at Santo Cielo was much more like tapa-style plates. And we kind of did a little bit of everything. They call it a global menu. So we had a little bit of Asian influence. We had some dishes that had influence from Italian cuisine. And then we ended up putting pizzas on the menu. We called them pizzettas. And they had an avocado pizzetta, which is strange. You cook like some dough, you pull it out and you put avocados and pickled fennel and pickled onions. It was actually really delicious. It sounds really weird, but it's actually really good.
But it wasn't chaos, because when I typically see like the Japanese, Chinese, Thai restaurant, I stay away because I'm like, how can they do any of those actually really well?
Sure.
It sounds like this menu is all over the place.
It was all over the place, but I would say that there was influence from different cuisines, but I would say it's still around the type of food of being new American, I think is what a lot of restaurants are calling it, where there's some dishes that might pull influence from other cuisines, but still kind of its own brand of cuisine, I would say.
Okay, but you're making dough here at this place, or at least you're fermenting something?
Yeah, so we had some dough recipes that needed some love at that restaurant. So one of the owners was like, hey, put some thought into this, do some research. I want you to work on our dough. He would show me different Roman style pizzas, you know, with a lot of fermentation and aeration. He's like, let's do something with a little bit more air. Let's work on this. Let's try to improve our dough recipe. So I started doing my research on 00 flour. I started learning about Neapolitan style pizzas, which they do at spots of like Roberta's and Bushwick, where you're kind of taking influence from Neapolitan cuisine, but kind of elevating it and changing it. So I learned a lot about just 00 flour and fermentation and auto lees and different dough mixing processes. And I tried to learn as much as I could about dough during that period there. And then that's when it kind of, you know, it fell into place for me. I was like, I love pizza. I love eating it. It's my favorite food. And now I think it's my favorite food to make. What other styles can I learn about? What else is out there to try? And I tried making New York style at home, literally just in my home oven, and started experimenting with different flours, hydrations, tomato products, cheeses. We had a Caputo store that was near us, so I was able to try out Stanislaus and different tomatoes. So it was awesome, and I just sort of, you know, fell in love with pizza, and that's kind of what drove me into the world of pizza.
How were you researching? Clearly, you weren't going to New York and going on eating trips yet. But how are you researching this New York style pizza?
So a big influence for me was a pizza show with Frank Pinello. I think he did a great job of documenting New York pizza culture, and not only New York pizza culture, but pizza culture in general. But he did a few episodes in Brooklyn and New York, and I saw him go to DeFara, Lucali, all these great legendary spots, Joe's. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, people care a lot about pizza in New York. There's a big, big pizza culture in New York. And I was very attracted to it. And after I made it and I tried it and I saw what he was doing, then I decided to read books like The Pizza Bible, Tony Gimignani, The Joy of Pizza, with Dan Richer, and a couple other ones. But those two were big influences as well, for sure, reading books.
You're really going down the rabbit hole then at this point. What year is this, roughly? 2018, 2019?
This is actually around, 2019, roughly. So very recently I started getting into pizza. I mean, I'm very new to the whole pizza scene.
And then did you plan that ultimate trip to New York to do the actual eating?
Yeah, so it was always in the back of my mind, like, I better go to New York and actually experience it myself to understand what this is all about. Obviously, you can watch the videos and you can try out the recipes at home, but it's not going to be the same as actually going to New York. So right before we opened our shop, we opened our shop December 3rd. So I think towards the end of November, we were able to squeeze in a really quick New York trip just for like 3 days. And we had a whole list of spots we wanted to hit. There's probably 20, 30 spots on there. We obviously couldn't hit them all, but some of the standouts were Lindistry, Scars, Joe's, Luigi's in Park Slope, John's on Bleecker Street was incredible. So those were some of my favorites for sure.
Not a bad list, right, Scott? I know you're listening to this, Scott. So it's a good list, I think. Okay, so then you start doing this. You open up here in 21.
Yes. So we opened up in 21, December 3rd. And right as soon as we opened the doors, we were really busy. So I think we did a good job of marketing on social media. We got the word out. We got people in Lakeview excited. And I think people are excited to have a style that's, you know, different than what they're used to in the area. You know, obviously, I love tavern style. I love Chicago style pizza. I have a big place in my heart for that style. But I think people are definitely interested in having access to, you know, different styles and different regional styles of pizza. So,
and here's an interesting part of this show, folks. We're 9 minutes plus into the podcast, and we have not yet said deep dish. There, I just said it for the first time in this interview. So here I'm talking to a guy from the western suburbs, grew up on tavern style. He never mentioned deep dish once, which I think is interesting. And then you talk about how people in this neighborhood, you know, maybe, or in this area, hadn't had New York style slices. I'm not sure how much deep dish they eat typically. I think locals will eat a lot of tavern style before they go deep, and you're nodding your head.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that 95% of the time we're eating tavern style square cut pizza. Occasionally, on a special occasion, we'll go to Lou Malnati's, which I love. And I do have a place in my heart for deep dish, but that's more of a special occasion, once in a while thing. But we grew up on tavern.
Okay, so as you're open now, doing this New York style, you said you're getting a little bit of buzz, you're marketing it. How are you feeling about the quality at this early stage? Because you now have Lindistry and Scars and Joe's fresh in your mind. Do you feel like you're getting anywhere in the same league?
Well, I would say something that held me back in the beginning was our ovens. When we first found this place, we actually inherited an old Blodgett oven. And it would do a good job if we weren't busy, but as soon as we got busy, the deck of the oven would actually cool down a lot, and the undercarriage wasn't coming out right, and we were so busy that there was nothing I could do about it. At a certain point, I'd cut off orders, because I want to put out quality product, and I'm like, you know what, guys, the pizzas aren't coming out right, just stop taking orders for a little bit. Like, I want to focus on putting out a good product. So it was a struggle in the beginning, mostly because of those ovens, but I put a lot of care into the products that we buy. You know, I try to get the best cheese from Grande, I try to use the best tomatoes that I can find, Alta Cucina, Stanislaus, great tomato. So we were using great ingredients, and I worked a lot on my dough recipes. So we're using good flour. I focused a lot on fermentation, but at a certain point, you need the right equipment to be able to put out good pizza. So,
and thus, I see a Pizza Master in the back there. You've got three decks, it looks like.
Yes, three decks, and it's the best oven I've ever used. I mean, the way you can manipulate it to produce pretty much any style of pizza. They go up to 932 degrees, I believe, and you can really do any style you want. It's really a great piece of equipment.
I'm going to see you working on this in just a minute. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to keep talking with Brett Nemec about Zaza's Pizza here in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks. So stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Brett Nemec, co-owner of Zaza's Pizzeria here in Lakeview in Chicago. New York-style slices in the city of Chicago. Love that you're wearing the Bulls jersey. Is that Pippen or Jordan?
It's Pippen.
It's,
yeah.
Pippen, okay. As you were saying earlier, you know, people in this neighborhood may be not accustomed to finding it, but boy, once they find out there's a New York-style slice joint, they come out of the woodwork, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do. And we've gotten people that drive out from the suburbs. We've gotten people coming in from other states to try it. I mean,
other states? Come on.
I'm serious. I mean, I don't know if they're coming just for the pizza, but as they're passing through, they'll say that, like, this is one of their hot spots. This is one of the places they intended on hitting while they're in Chicago. So it's really cool to see, you know, the effort that people make to come out and try it. People are becoming more accustomed to Chicago being a diverse place for pizza. There's artisan now, there's Detroit style, there's deep dish, there's tavern, there's New York, there's neo-Neapolitan, there's traditional Neapolitan. There's literally, you can find every style of pizza in the city. It's really incredible.
I have the biggest smile on my face as he's saying this, because I didn't prompt him, but of course everybody knows about Pizza Fest, and yeah. You guys were there. So it was great to... good to hear someone like you say this, because you're right, it's not just Tavern and Deep and stuff. There's so many other styles.
Yeah.
I mean, just in your category alone, Jimmy's Pizza Cafe, they were also at Pizza Fest.
Yep.
Pazza, which is a great, two Albanian brothers in an old town doing great New York style slices.
Yeah.
So on and on it goes. And they just keep opening. I mean, the fact that I just had a book come out a year ago and you guys weren't in it because you just opened up. I mean, this is, it just keeps happening in Chicago. So, okay, you're going to build a pie for us. You've got your dough in the tray here.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how long it's been fermenting and maybe what kind of flour you guys use?
Sure. Yeah, so right now we're using King Arthur Sir Lancelot high gluten flour. We were using a Poolish before, but we had to actually change our method based on how busy we were getting. Basically, we're doing a bulk ferment now instead of the Poolish, which kind of basically goes for a similar goal, is to add extra fermentation into the dough. So the bulk ferment we do overnight, and it kind of helps us with the workload, because now our PM crew only has to mix dough and our AM crew only has to ball up dough. And before it was all in one. So you'd have to mix the dough, you'd have to measure all the ingredients, and you'd have to ball them up. Because we're so busy, I figured it would help our crew to be able to do the dough mixing at night and the portioning in the morning. And the bulk ferment is actually great. It produces great flavor and extra aeration into the dough, and I'm a big fan of it for sure. So this has been aging for about 48 hours after balling. For lunch, we do slices and we do 20-inch pies. And then for service, when we do whole pies, they're actually 16 inches.
Okay, so is it a little semolina here underneath to kind of keep it lubricated?
Yeah, so we actually use semola, which is very similar to semolina, but it's actually milled a little bit finer.
Using your fingertips now, the pads of your fingers, to kind of press down the dough, leaving that heel or that rim intact and untouched, where the air is going to sort of collect at least and rise a little bit. And now he's doing a little bit of a stretch on the actual, you got a big booze block here.
Oh, yes.
Stretching it out on the wood. Not you, most guys stretch it out on marble. Does that make a difference?
I would say what you stretch on does make a difference. I think marble is great because it's smooth surface and you're going to get a nice smooth stretch. I think this table could use a little bit of work and getting it a little smoother.
You're picking it up now. You have both hands kind of opposing and you continue to stretch it, and a little gentle toss in the air as he's stretching it. It's getting much larger now. That looks like about 18 inches.
Yeah, we're getting close for sure. My dough is pretty high in hydration and we don't mix it a ton. I like to err on the side of caution when mixing and almost undermix rather than overmix. And I find that it blends to a nicer bite that's not as chewy.
Now onto his large wooden peel. Boy, I'm looking at what you've got here, your mise en place. Okay, well, first the sauce. Okay, tell us about the sauce. You said Alta Cucina's?
Yes, so we use Alta Cucina, great California plum tomato. So when we were testing out tomatoes, we tried Bianco di Napoli, we tried out 7-Eleven, different Stanislaus products, and I personally just find Alta Cucina to be my favorite flavor profile. It's very savory, I would say, and has a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of basil, a little olive oil. I really do believe in a simple sauce. I don't like to overdo it and add too much.
Mozz now?
Yeah, so we're doing some grande mozzarella. This is a East Coast blend. Gonna go super light, and then we're also gonna add some fresh mozzarella. This is Belgioso.
That's a very light bit of the shred, for sure. I mean, not even enough to cover it, but now the fresh, even this fresh mozz that you just started tearing up looks pretty dry.
That's an intentional thing. So I've used a bunch of different fresh mozzarellas, and I find that with our style of pizza, the pizza ends up being too wet if you're going to use a really wet mozzarella. But I find that this lends itself to a really, really creamy bite. So you're going to see when you have a bite, if you try it, that it's very creamy, but it's not too wet, which is what we're shooting for. And then next up, we're going to do some chopped tomatoes. So what I do is I take the Alta Cucinas and I just sort of give them a rough chop. And then I find that it's nice that you get like kind of a nice whole bite of the tomato, and I think it pronounces the Alta Cucina flavor a little bit more. Like if you go to a place like DeFaro, they're gonna have kind of a chunky sauce, and this is kind of emulating that, but I don't necessarily want this kind of a bite on every pizza. So I find that for this particular pizza, it works really well.
Sprinkle on some fresh garlic.
Fresh garlic, and then we're gonna do a touch of oregano. I don't like oregano on every pie, but I do like it on certain ones, and that's also why I don't add it to the sauce, because I find that if you have a simple sauce and you want a pizza that's garlic forward or oregano forward, you can always add those ingredients, but you can't take them away.
$5.75 for folks who care about this kind of information. He's got a 5 on the top and a 4 at the bottom, so a pretty even intensity in terms of where your heat's directed.
And I've realized how important it is to match your oven temperature to your hydration. So right now our dough hydration is at 69%, and I find that the oven needs to be a little bit of a lower, I mean, still hot, but a little bit lower than I would like to go normally. I was always a big fan of going 600 plus, 650, but I find that if you have a really high hydration dough, it needs to spend more time in the oven baking so that it has a full crisp bake.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick musical interlude break and we'll come back when this pizza is done.
These trays kind of have these little dimples on them that allow the pizza to aerate so that it can release some of its steam. Because if you put a pizza on a flat tray as soon as it comes out of the oven, there's steam that wants to escape and you're not allowing it to, so you're gonna get soggy, kind of floppy pizza. So I find that this moment where it can kind of rest and release some of its steam helps a lot.
Give us a sense for how many, margarita obviously, but what else are you making here typically? What kind of pizzas?
So our pepperoni is very popular. We use Ezzo pepperoni, great pepperoni, and then we also do a sopressata pie that has Mike's Hot Honey. We use shaved Parmesan on a lot of our pizzas as well. We do a truffle mushroom pie, which uses cremini mushrooms. We do kind of a cream-based sauce, and it gets rosemary, goat cheese, some truffle oil.
Hey, with the mushrooms, do you roast or sauté those ahead of time?
So we've been playing around with different options. We used to actually sauté them. I used to have like a flat top, so we'd almost be sautéing them with some garlic and some olive oil. We got great results, and then we tried roasting them for a little bit. So we played around with many different options, but I find that cooking them a little bit ahead of time does help release some of its moisture so it's not too wet on the pizza.
Absolutely. I mean, I've noticed that now. Like I said, Upside does that in New York. A lot of guys do that, too.
Yeah.
But boy, if you put mushrooms and onions and peppers raw on a pizza and bake it for 20 minutes or 15 minutes, I mean, it's going to get wet. It's going to be.
Absolutely. So I think it's a really good idea to try to extract some of that moisture before you cook it on the pizza.
Right. And you were saying that you've got a no-flop guide. So this is something that you've obviously figured out, too. You want to make sure there's just no flop, no tip sag.
Yes, that's always a goal. You know, depending on the person that we have cooking the pizzas, it can be a difficult task, you know. There's a lot of different factors that could lead to a pizza being floppy, but some of the variables that we make sure to talk about is not overtopping your pizza, not putting too much cheese, not putting too many ingredients. You know, it's about balance. It's going to taste better, and it's also going to be sturdier if we don't use too many toppings.
All right, just transfer the cut pie now to a screen on top of a tray, again, to keep aerating it, and then now you do something that... I don't want to say it's controversial, but it's unique. What are you doing?
So right here we have Partana olive oil that's been infused with a little bit of garlic and rosemary. And I just brush a little bit onto the crust. And this is kind of our signature move that we do with some pies. And I find that it just helps permeate the crust a little bit. You know, I believe strongly in what we do in terms of the fermentation that we're able to get out of our dough. And I'll let you try the pizza without the brush crust, but you know, I find that it just adds a little subtle note of complexity to the crust. And I compare it to, you know, taking a nice piece of sourdough bread and eating it with really good cultured butter and a little bit of sea salt. Like, you can eat the bread on its own and it's delicious, but as soon as you dip it in that butter and salt, then like something goes off and it's like, wow, this is really, really tasty. So
you finished it with, is it Maldon or what kind of sea salt?
So this is Maldon sea salt, yes. Okay. So we try to use the best.
Okay, now basil.
Yeah, so we're using Gotham Greens basil. They actually grow locally, and I find that it's the best basil out there. It stays green. You can even cook with this basil, put it on a pie, and it can bake in the oven. It still remains green, which is awesome.
You know, it's funny. We just had Weeded on the last show, and also from Gotham Greens, same basil.
Yeah, so they do a great job, and I find it very fragrant. It's perfumed really well, and it just has a good bite to it. I find that it's not too fibrous. Some basil I find too fibrous and too thick and chunky. This has a really nice bite to it, and it's really easy to bite through.
You didn't tear it very much, though. You just put leaves on, and now you're adding what cheese?
Yeah, so we're doing a little bit of shaved Parmesan here, just a touch, and then we're going to do some Partana olive oil over the top.
Okay, going to try it. We're going to talk about it in a second. Okay, hang on. You know, I thought I was going to, because I've had the conversation with Brett offline, that I was going to favor the unbrushed side. He did it half and half for me. And it's fine, but I think I do prefer the brushed side. You're right. It's like adding a little bit of richness and a little salt to the outside. Do you purposely, you don't pull back on the salt when you make the crust or the dough?
Not entirely, but if I were to not add the salt at the end, I might go a little heavier. So I'm leaving a little wiggle room to add salt, kind of like using unsalted butter in a recipe that where you're going to add salt, as opposed to using something that's already heavily salted. So I am trying to have some balance there. If we're gonna add salt to a really heavily salted crust, that might not work out. So I do hold back a little bit, but we still definitely go pretty heavy on salt. I'm a big firm believer in like getting the sodium levels correct on a pizza.
And I'm wondering though, because this was just brushed and I had it pretty freshly brushed, if it's brushed and then it's sitting out in the case, is there a chance that it could get a little bit soft or too soggy for you on the outside crust?
Yes, that does happen. So we actually do not brush our slices. So when we have our slices sitting in the display case, they're just dry. We reheat the slice, we pull it out of the oven, and then we give that individual slice a quick brush after it comes out of the reheater oven.
Very interesting. Delicious, by the way. I mean, no surprise, you're using great products and great ingredients. Really, really simple. You have a light touch with everything, with the sauce and the cheese, and it's everything's in proportion. OBR, as we talk about a lot on the show. And you look at the undercarriage, and you've got that black sort of mottling, that speckled. That's a New York slice. It looks really, really nice, and cool. And no sag. Okay, congratulations, by the way, on making a New York-style slice with respect in Chicago.
Thank you.
Okay, last question we ask all of our guests. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, which is really only a couple of years in full-time, what would you have told yourself in 2017, 2018, to be successful doing this kind of pizza?
Sure. I think I would have told myself to be prepared for the highs and lows of running a business. I think a lot of people think it's glamorous or they're in it to make a lot of money. I'm in it because I love making pizza at the end of the day. But there's going to be some of the best days you've ever had owning a pizzeria or a business or a restaurant, and you're going to have some of the worst days you've ever had. It's really challenging sometimes, but also extremely rewarding. So I think I would have told myself to be prepared for that kind of a lifestyle. It's going to be really hard and really great, you know, all at the same time.
Restaurant, again, is called Zaza's Pizzeria. It's in Lakeview, just north of downtown. So if you're coming to visit, you could certainly take Lakeshore Drive up, or the Red Line probably drops off over on Belmont, not far away, very close. Brett Nemec, thanks so much. Congratulations again. Nice to have another style of pizza, a really good style of pizza here in my hometown.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve.
All right, so reason to come to Chicago, not just for the deep and the tavern, but for the New York style slices too. Coming up in 2 weeks, we are back in my town talking new school deep dish with a restaurant veteran who's taking a third wave approach to the style.
It's not as pronounced as the Malnati's or any of the other places. It is thinner in the middle. I've never had Bert Katz's, but I've had Bert's. Theirs seem different than mine. Mine, it's crispier on the bottom. A little more pillowy, different flavor altogether.
I'll talk to George Bombaris of George's Deep Dish, where he's using an all-natural starter for his deep pan pizza. That's in 2 weeks on December 9th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. We are at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.